Father God, and we thought, when is our Savior going to come? And the thing that gripped my heart this week was this, is that Jesus actually came. That Jesus came. I want us to get encouraged and excited and enthused this morning, because I don't know how it would feel like, or if we could even imagine it today, but what if it was like, if we were 2,000 years ago, or what if Jesus had never come and we're still waiting for him today? And then on the 24th of December, whatever it was, you know, Jesus just appeared in a manger. You know what I mean? In some farmer's stable, just appeared in a manger. What would we feel like? What would it be like? And I think this morning we have to almost, in our mind's eye, just remind ourselves that this occasion actually happened. And the moments that we're living in today are the benefits that a Savior came to this world, that a Savior came to earth. And so this morning, as we're looking forward to Christmas and we're thinking about presents and we're thinking about all that God has done, I do not want us to forget that a Savior actually came into a broken world. And it may still feel like a broken world, and it is still a broken world, but our Savior came. Our Savior came. And so if we're believers this morning and we know the Lord this morning, then that just means everything. Because he fulfilled all the dreams, he fulfilled all the prophecies, he fulfilled all that we've been waiting for. And if you have an expectation, you'll know this morning that usually there's a wait in between. The world had been anticipating, the world had been expecting, and then a Savior was born. So I want us to think this morning about expectations. But I don't want us to get to stop on the expectations, because expectations are great, but nothing beats an expectation that has been fulfilled. And so this morning, I want us to start off, and I want us to base all that we're thinking about today, that our expectations, our greatest expectation, whether we believe it or not, or whether we've received them or not, the greatest expectation that we ever had was Jesus Christ. And he came, and so therefore our greatest expectation has already been fulfilled. And so we're going to move from that place forward. I want us to look at a verse this morning, Matthew 11, 2 and 3. James got it. Here's John. Now John was a person who went before Jesus. He was the one who prepared the way, and then Jesus was going to come shortly after. But he asked this question. It says, when John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Should we, there's that word expect, should we expect someone else? Now, John had been with his whole life. He knew what his job was. He knew what his role was. It was to almost say, you know, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. That was really just his whole message. You know, get repent, be baptized, he's coming. There's a Savior coming. There's one coming better than me. And so it comes to the day when it actually happens. And nothing beats the day when it actually happens when you've got an expectation. And we'll think more about that later on. But when you're expecting something and then it finally comes to the day, there's nothing beats that. Linda is expecting a baby. And there's nothing beats the day when it comes and expectation has arrived. And then suddenly the baby is here. Expectations are great, but nothing beats when the expectation is fulfilled and the baby has arrived. And we're thinking about a baby coming up this Christmas because we're thinking about Jesus. We're reminding ourselves of him. And so John asked the question, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? You know, if we're thinking about expectations this morning, and we're thinking about expectations, then we're going to think about our expectations in faith. John turns around and he says, are you the one? And I love the way he phrases the first part. He says, I've heard about the deeds of the Messiah. You know, so John is asking the question, he said, is this definitely the one? But I have a pretty good idea that it's him, because I wouldn't refer to him as Messiah if I didn't have a strong inclination, if I didn't have a strong expectation that it is him. And so this morning, when we think about expectations, we cannot forget about our faith, because if you have an expectation in God, you will never see it come to pass without faith. And I believe this is what the writer is trying to get across to us, is that John still had an expectation. Are these the deeds of the Messiah? Jesus was our Messiah. He was the one that we waited for. He was the answer who we had looked for so many years. And finally, Jesus came. Expectation plus faith is absolutely crucial. We need to hear what a definition that just from non-Christians say. A strong belief. I mean, we know what that word means, belief. We believe. We believe in a Savior. A strong belief that something will happen or be the case. So even the world knows that expectations are linked very much so with our beliefs. And so if we have a belief and an expectation, then it is, we will see an outcome, and we have the opportunity to see the outcome that maybe we're expecting. So we're thinking about expectations. We're thinking about expectations fulfilled. We're thinking and remind ourselves that Jesus has already come, and so we move from that place. But if we're going to talk about expectations this morning, then inevitably we have to talk about waiting. And waiting is the worst thing, because expectations are great. I'm expecting this to happen. I'm expecting the snow for Christmas, whatever your expectations are. But the worst part about expectations are they haven't happened yet, and so we're waiting for it to happen. And so there's the wait. There's the wait. What are we going to do as we wait? How long is it going to be? How long do we have to wait? Maybe you're in a long car journey. The Simpsons, I remember a few episodes of them, and they said, are we nearly there yet? Are we nearly there yet? You know, just couldn't wait to get there. We've got an expectation of our holiday, but we're waiting to get there. Are we soon going to be off on the days? Are the days soon going to be up? How long is it going to take? Has he come yet? This is what John asked the question. What are we waiting for this morning? What are our expectations this morning? I want to hopefully lift up our expectations. I believe the heart of the whole message this morning is this, is that we've got so used to seeing our expectations fail, or we've got so used to seeing our expectations not being achieved in the same extent that we were hoping for. And so as a result, our expectations have started to fall. And even as Christians, and we know that our greatest expectation, and hopefully that's what we're talking about this morning, if we can remind ourselves that our greatest expectation was fulfilled, maybe when we receive this appointment, we can almost forget about it and go again the next time. Because I believe this morning, God is saying to our hearts, is that if we are Christians this morning, that we should not be settling for so little. And I believe this morning that God is saying that we have settled for so little for so long in terms of our faith. Imagine if you were in the days when Jesus came. Can you believe that? We're waiting for Jesus to come. We're waiting for him to come. And then suddenly he arrives as a baby. But you know what the best news is this morning? We are living in the days when Jesus has already come. He has been to the cross. He's defeated sin. He's defeated death. We've received him as a Savior. He's given us a future and a hope. We know our home is secure in heaven. And yet our expectations sometimes can be so little. And I believe God is saying this morning, we need to raise the bar again. We need to raise our gaze this morning. We need to start believing for miracles, signs, and wonders. When was the last time that we were believing for a miracle? I mean, if we laughed at the start, we thought to ourselves, imagine if Jesus just was to come on the 24th. Would we even believe that? Could we even dream of that? Are our expectations so little that we'd even struggle to think, are you for real? Would Jesus really come? Is he for real? You know, is this a myth? Is this a legend? Will he come? And yet Jesus has already come, and he's done so much for us. And so this morning, I think we need to raise up our gaze. We need to lift up our expectations and not allow the defeats of the past or even the disappointments of the expectation before to dampen what God might want to do today. He is the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. You know, when Jesus came, he came as a baby, but he was really the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It says in Isaiah 9:2-7, it says this. I want us to read it together. This is a message version, just a slightly different version, just to give you an extra feel, because maybe we've heard the verses for so long. But Jesus actually came. For a child has been born for us. I like the way it says in this version. It's just saying, look, the child was born for us. He came for us. He didn't come for himself. He came for us. The gift of a son for us. He'll take over running the world. He'll take over running the world. He has already taken over running the world. This is the great news this morning. He is running the world. He's in charge of every situation that we face. He's in charge of every problem we come up against. He is running the world. He'll take over running the world. His names will be Amazing Counselor. Amazing Counselor. He will be Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Wholeness. I love that, Prince of Wholeness. If you need to feel whole this morning, if you need to feel restored this morning, he is the Prince of Wholeness. Or maybe you've heard it before, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Wholeness this morning. His rule and authority will grow. I mean, it's just going to grow and grow and grow because he is that great. There will be no limits to the wholeness that he brings. This is past. This is looking forward, future tense. But thankfully, we're living in the tense. We're living in it right now. There will be no limits to what Jesus can do in our hearts and lives. And I believe this morning God has said it's time to continuously lift up our gaze, not allow disappointments to defeat us, but instead keep believing in our eternal home. Keep believing in our limitless God and know that he is on the throne and know that he has never been defeated and that he never will be defeated. Our expectations came true. Our expectations were fulfilled. John Bowen says this. We read it every year at Christmas. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. I mean, this is Jesus. This is the God that we're talking about this morning. And so if that could happen, what else could not happen? If that is the greatest expectation that we've ever had, and the Savior actually came, I'm struggling even in my own mind just to get a grip of that. That our Savior actually came. And I believe this is what God's trying, by the power, hopefully, of the Holy Spirit this morning. He's trying to enable in our minds. How do we grasp that? That Jesus actually came, the fulfillment of every promise. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then the Word became flesh and He dwelt among us. Jesus, He walked with us. I mean, He talked with some of us, not us literally, but some of us, you know. He talked with people, He spent time with people, He came to be that perfect example. Our expectation was just walking right in the flesh. Unbelievable. God is here this morning. God is here and He's looking to raise up our gaze. I want us to think about expectation and think about this. He wasn't what we were expecting. He wasn't what we were expecting. You know, we were looking for a Savior, and trust God, He likes to just do some funny things sometimes. Trust God, He sent Him as a baby. How is a baby a Savior? You know, I was thinking to myself, He wasn't what we were expecting. How many times have we got defeated in our expectations because when they've been fulfilled, it wasn't what we were expecting? You know, we were expecting a Savior, maybe on a white horse with a big sword. He was just going to come in and just defeat every bad person the world's ever seen. And then He's just going to ride off into the sunset. You know what I mean? Maybe that's what we were expecting. But it wasn't what we were expecting. He came as a baby. I mean, you don't get much more helpless than a baby. You don't get much tinier than a baby. You don't get much more dependent than a baby. A baby needs everything done for it. You know, just can't do anything but breathe. You know what I mean? It needs everything done for it. And yet Jesus came. God, in all of His wisdom, sent Him as a baby. I believe God was trying to maybe teach us some things this morning. I thought of a funny point. I'm not even sure if it's true. But I wonder, did He come as a baby because God knew that it would take us about 30 years to fully grasp Him? You know what I mean? Because if He came as this amazing warrior, we may not have got it. Unfortunately, a lot of people still don't get it. Unfortunately, a lot of people back then still didn't even get it. His own people, the Jews, still couldn't even see it. And unfortunately, they still don't see it. And I believe that's why God says, keep praying for them, keep believing for them, because He's hoping that they'll see it eventually. But our Savior came as a baby. He wasn't what we were expecting, but He was still Jesus. I was thinking this morning, what have we been expecting, and it didn't come in the form that we thought. Maybe you were expecting a pay rise, and then the boss turns around and says, I want you to work more, and then you'll get more money. You know what I mean? It's like, we had an expectation that we'll get more money, and he was like, sure, work more for me, I'll give you more money. Like, it wasn't exactly what I was expecting. You know what I mean? But we got what we needed. Maybe you were expecting a new car, and instead of getting that brand new, whatever, Audi A4, whatever, or Derek got himself a brand new Merc. I mean, he's worth a mint, wherever he is. And instead of getting the Merc that you wanted, you ended up getting a new Fiesta or something. You know what I mean? Whatever it is. Wasn't quite what I was expecting, but you know what it did? It took me from A to B. Jesus wasn't quite what we were expecting, but that wasn't His fault. That was our fault. He still fulfilled His purposes. He still did all that He needed to do. He was still our great champion. He was still Jesus, even in the manger. And so this morning, we need to remind ourselves, when we have expectations, we may not get exactly what we were expecting, but we may not be able to see the whole picture. And it may be far better than we ever realized. Expectations can be full of disappointments. We get so used to being let down. We talked about it just a bit earlier. But every expectation faces the challenge of faith to keep on going. When we see it fulfilled, will it happen? Can I believe for this? Can I believe for that? Is it going to come through? Will Jesus really come? Is He really going to come back? He really is. Jesus is going to do it. Every expectation is full of disappointments. You know what happens when we get full of disappointments? We do a few different things. I've written down just a few this morning. We lessen our expectations. We start to bring down our expectation levels. And we think, well, I'll expect a little less. You know, maybe I expected too much that last time. I'll expect a little less. Next time I'll not be caught out. I'll just expect less from God. We start to believe for less. Because every time that we get disappointment, it attacks our faith. Because faith and expectations are intrinsically linked. They're just, they go hand in hand. And so every time we get disappointed, it attacks our faith, so we start to believe for less. So now we're starting to expect less, we're starting to believe less, so in theory, God is going to do less. We get satisfied with so little. We get satisfied with so little. And I feel this morning that God just wants to challenge our hearts. Are we being satisfied with so little? You know what I mean? We are born again believers. God has told us that we're going to overcome the world just in the way that He has already overcome the world. That we're going to go from time to time. We're going to see people saved. We're going to see lives transformed. We're going to see the dead raised. We're going to see blind eyes open. And we're just satisfied that maybe, that, and there's nothing wrong with this, but that God, just thank you for another day. You know what I mean? And of course we say this is the day that the Lord has made and we give you praise. But are we getting satisfied with so little that all our expectations are being fulfilled if we even just get another day? Now for some of us that really is a miracle because maybe you're going through the toughest season and the toughest time of your life, so I'm not going to discredit that. But for the rest of us that are maybe doing well and life is going good, if we're waking up every day and we're just being fully satisfied with just being alive, there's something wrong there. Our expectations have been diminished. Our expectations have been so far decreased that we're being satisfied with so little because we were made for so much more. God is saying this morning that you were made with destiny. You were made to change things. That I didn't come to the world to just leave you just to get on with what you have. But instead I've come to set you apart. I've come to create things. I've come to set things up. And then I wanted to hand it over to you so you can continue on. God didn't intend that when He would leave that suddenly a big dip would come after a few thousand years, maybe in 2015, and then Christians would just be satisfied with just going to church and coming home again, and having a good feeling and a meeting and then just going home again. You know, Jesus didn't die for that. Jesus didn't pass on the baton for that. He passed it on so that we can continue to see greater things, signs and wonders and miracles. And so this morning, I want us to lift up our expectations. I want us to realize that our greatest expectation was fulfilled when Jesus came into the world. What are we expecting? What are we expecting? Quick story from the building. I was thinking about it. We were expecting God to do something. We were expecting God to do something in terms of a building 2 years ago. It was about this time 2 years ago. We eventually saw a building, and then we have an expectation that God's going to give us this building. This was the very one we saw. We thought, we've got an expectation God's going to do it. So we start to expect. And they come to me and they said, how would you like to pay, sir? I was like, never been called sir before. That was pretty nice. How would you like to pay, sir? They thought I was worth a lot of money then. I was like, oh, I'd like to pay in cash, sir. You know what I mean? I was just like, I'll pay in cash. They were like, well, you'll get the best deal that way. If you were going to go for a mortgage, then it would be a bit more expensive. You wouldn't get the best price. I was like, no problem, sir. We'll pay in cash. You know, because I had an expectation. I had an expectation that God was going to do it. So then I thought, well, you know, God's people are pretty good. We'll ask them. So I think it was the Boxing Day 2 years ago, 22nd of December, text around and say, hey, guys, we've just bought a building. The problem is we don't have any money. So if you've got any, you can send it in. I had an expectation. You know what I mean? I had an expectation. But I remember come mid-January, and some of these boys here didn't tell me at the time, but they had already started to doubt that this thing was going to happen. But God knew better. Do you know what the amazing thing is? Even when our expectations start to wane, even when our expectations start to get down, well, we better just calm down a bit, God's still saying, don't worry, I've got this thing under control. I'm still seated at the right hand of the Father. I still own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I can get you whatever you need, whenever you need it. I have no lack in supply. And so I remember coming midway through January, we had to have the money all by the end of January, start of February. I think we got a 2-week reprieve type of things. We had to have it by the middle of February, but at this point we didn't know that. And so, in the middle of January, we had 11,000 pounds. And I remember thinking about expectation. I remember thinking about, God, I'm expecting you to do this. I'm believing in you. I'm putting my faith in my expectations. It's going to come true. It's definitely going to happen. You know what I mean? But inside of all that, there was still some doubts. And I think just as believers, the Bible says if you're in doubt, then ask the Lord just to help you with that doubt. I think doubts are just always going to be there, but instead of being a foe, let them be a friend. Because let them just continuously push you forward into Jesus. Say, no, I doubt, but I'm going to go to Jesus. I'm doubting here, but I'm going to continue to pray. I'm doubting, but I'm going to continue to stay in faith. And we got to a very important stage that I felt midway through January. And God was saying, you've got expectations in me, but you've also got expectations in lots of other things as well. And we came to a point, and I felt, I was just praying in the kitchen one day, walking back and forth, thinking, God, you're going to do it this way, you're going to do it that way. I've got all these expectations. I could ask that person, maybe they'd lend us the money, but, you know, just thinking all these different things. And God just almost kind of just stopped me in my tracks as I was walking and praying, and he just said, put all your eggs in me. Put all your expectations into me. I'm the one that you're looking for. I'm the one that you've been waiting for. You know, when Jesus came, he said to people, he said, put everything on me. Put everything that you own on me. In fact, give up everything that you own because you're not going to need it, because I'm the one that you need and I'm all that you need. That's why when he went to the disciples, he said, come follow me. And they left their nets and they left everything that they had because they realized this was the one. This was the one that they waited for. And so this morning, God is wanting to teach us something so important that he needed to teach back then and he wants to teach today. Keep all your expectations in Jesus. He will not fail. And even when you get something you don't expect, God is still in control and he's still got a plan and he still knows what he's going to do. So in that moment, we had 11,000 pounds and God said to me, you've got to change the way you pray. You've got to change your expectations. You've got to stop thinking for alternatives and now put all your faith and put all your trust in me. And so I remember praying a dangerous prayer. I prayed, God, I remember such and such said, if we ever needed a loan, they would give it to us. Lord, I just pray you just take that away in Jesus' name. I feel at this moment we don't need it. And I just started praying almost like against all of those good things. You know, just because I wanted to make sure my expectations were definitely in. We went to pray, and if you've forgotten the story, then I will remind you. If you've never heard the story, then I will encourage you. We went to pray at 11,000 pounds a few nights later, and we went from 11,000 pounds to 25,000 pounds the next day. And then a week after that, we went from 25,000 to 39,000 overnight as well. Put our expectations in God. Put your faith and your hope and your trust in the greatest expectation that we ever had, which was Jesus. He has fulfilled every promise. He has fulfilled every prophecy. He has fulfilled everything that we waited for, and he's still doing it today. He's the one that we yearned for, even the earth cried out for, and he came. And now, if you know him, he lives inside of your heart. He lives inside of your heart. And so I want to encourage us this morning, do not allow disappointments to rob us from the miracles that we need to see. Do not allow disappointments from the past to rob us from the salvations that we need to see in our heart, that we need to see. I mean, there's just no greater need than that in my heart, that we need to see the people of our mind get saved. Does anybody agree with that this morning?
Yeah.
Let's agree with that together. Let's say amen to God. We need to see the people of our mind saved. We need to see that happen. We need to see signs and wonders. We need to see people that are sick get healed. We need to see, we need to start a vibe scrap business. Why do I want to believe for that? Because I want to see wheelchairs. I want to see crutches. I want to see all the types of things chucked in the bin because people are getting healed. You know what I mean? Are we going to start to stir up our faith like that? I mean, we need to get excited this morning. We need to get enthused. You know, the enthusiasm comes from God. We need to challenge the way that we're thinking. Because maybe our expectations have become so little that we're not even believing for even a cold to get healed in Jesus' name. Our Jesus can do anything. Our Jesus is the ultimate expectation fulfilled. Can he come and just stir up our hearts this morning? Maybe we're blocked up with the cold. Maybe we're full of, you know, just crazy things happening in our minds today because of indigestion and all different things, but our congestion. But let's stir up our hearts today. Let's stir up our hearts and believe that God can do incredible things. I'm nearly done. I want to read just Isaiah 9 again, the first part of it. He'll take over the running of the world. He'll take over the running of the world. He's already done that. He is doing that. His name will be Amazing Counselor. He's strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Wholeness. His ruling authority will grow, and there will be no limits to the wholeness that he brings. This is not a dream anymore. This is a reality. This is who Jesus is. This is who lives in our hearts. This is the message that we carry. This is the person that we need to talk about. Will we? Will we go for this? Will we believe for this? Will we raise our expectations to the new heights and the new depths? As I was praying, and just thinking, God, what are we trying to get to the point of at the end? I thought to myself, our number one rule that we need to do in every disappointment and even in every victory is go back to the cross, is go back to the manger, is almost like realign. We are people that need to continuously refocus, people that need to continuously realign our thoughts, realign our walks, realign just our actions, our deeds, everything that we do. And I thought to myself, where do we need to keep on going back to? Not that we want to live in the past, but we want the past to propel us into the future and continuously push us forward. And I felt God say really clearly, you've got to always remember the manger. You've got to always remember the manger. And then you've got to always remember the cross. You've got to always remember those things. Whenever we're in doubt, we remember the manger. He came after thousands of years of waiting. Whenever we're struggling, whenever we're not sure, we remember the cross, where he defeated death and he defeated sin and he changed everything. He changed absolutely everything. Whenever we're disappointed, we think about the manger. Whenever we need encouragement, we think about the cross. We think of what he's done. Whenever we need God to stir up our hearts, we go back to the manger, we go back to the cross, and we say, he did come. He did come. He fulfilled everything, and he is coming again. And so my job is this, to go and tell the whole world. To go and tell the whole world about the good news of Jesus. You know, whenever you see fulfillment fulfilled, whenever you see expectations fulfilled, you know what starts to happen? You start to become convicted. Instead of waiting for something that's already happened, and so therefore it becomes a conviction. I'm now convinced. I'm now convinced of God. I'm now convinced of my hope. I'm now convinced of my of that fulfillment of that expectation. I'm now convinced. And in fact, not only have I become convinced and convicted, I have become fully persuaded. It says in Romans 8, 38 to 39, I am convinced that nothing can separate us. I am convinced now. My expectations are being fulfilled. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, neither our worries for tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Nothing can separate us this morning. My expectations have become my convictions. And my convictions, I've just become convinced. And maybe you'll come to a point, and I believe this is the point where God just wants us to finish today, that my convictions are I'm going to become consumed. I'm going to become consumed with my Savior. I'm going to become consumed with my Savior instead of consumed with disappointments. I'm going to become consumed with my Savior instead of allowing missed opportunities and lack of expectations coming through to disappoint me for the future. But instead, I'm going to become consumed with my Savior. He has filled our lives with grace, hope, and love. And he still wants to do that today. Can we stand together? We're going to finish with a song in just a moment, but I want us to pray.